Hey gang, there is more exciting news from Lion's Choice. 2017 is their 50th year and they are just getting started. St. Louis's favorite, Lion's Choice Roast Beef, is rolling out new salads. The new lineup includes a traditional Caesar, the LC Seasonal with their signature bistro dressing, and you have to try the Butcher Block Cobb Salad featuring a trio of their famous proteins, roast beef, turkey, and ham. So stop by any of the 25 area Lion's Choice locations and help them celebrate 50 years and see what's new at LC.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. I know that I can count on you.
Welcome back indeed. That's not possible. I feel like I should say it like that.
Midnight Storm. Quiet Storm.
Have you ever hosted any, like, I know that you've done
strip,
a lot of...
Amateur strip nights? Yes, I have.
You read my mind. I feel like you do go out on, like, a love call-in show.
I should do that. I should do a lot of things, but the Candy Crush really kind of has got me...
How many hours a day you play Candy Crush, Jay?
All right, I'm going to lie. So when I'm going to do an Iggy, so add a couple hours to this. Three.
Per day.
3 hours a day?
Like I said, you might, if you wanted to, add add another
what
two.
What does it
add another two.
Is there some payoff at the end that you might get? Or
pride.
It's all just a game and nothing
else
to it.
Yeah, I've been trying to get together a tour, and it's not going well yet.
If you got hooked on fantasy sports or something,
you can make money at
you
least.
You might have a payoff.
Yeah. I'm not real smart.
This is just playing the game to...
Just trying to improve myself every day in the game.
I played up to the point where you can't possibly play without spending money. Like, I couldn't.
Well, I don't. I've never spent money on it.
I couldn't get through a level, and I just couldn't do it, so I gave up about 2 years ago.
We were going to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Me, Jay Boyd, Joe Roderick, and Sarah B. We were going to do a show down there for a week. And we got in the car and we started driving early in the morning. And Sarah said out of nowhere, "You know, you ought to try that Candy Crush." And she was spending money on it. And I said, "Well, I'm not never spending any money on it." And since that day, you know, I bet that there are people that know how sad it is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Why don't you just quit it? Just delete the app.
Just delete the app. That would be tough to do.
You go a day without it, then go 2 days without it, one day at a time.
See, if you go a couple days without it, you lose some of the power that you get from the game.
Okay, this
now we're talking.
This guy is apparently stuck on level 2,709. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
What level are you on, Jay?
I'm going to give you that update right now in just a second. I'll let you know what level I'm at.
Level 2,000.
That's insane.
That is insane. There's no question about that.
Are you above that?
What do you have to do to get to level 1?
No, you start at level 1 and then
I was maxed out because for a while the phone people were at least one level or two levels behind. And about a couple months ago, they made the switch and made it all uniform between the I'm at 2,645.
Wow. He's stuck on 2,709.
How many levels are there?
There's a lot.
Apparently, it's unlimited.
Well, they're going to keep doing it because people spend
money. Oh, here's Dan and O'Fallon asking you if you want to know the secret to unlimited free lives.
Yeah, sure. Send away.
Text that in.
Yeah.
Also, Stubby Applause wants to know if you've tried Golf Clash.
I did try Golf Clash. I played it for a while. It's not in depth enough for me. The WGT, there's a World Golf Tour game that I had a sickness with a couple of years ago. That's a good game. WGT.
You're playing this on your phone.
You could play WGT now, I think, on your phone, but it's better on the computer.
Speaking of games, I was telling Jay, and I think before the show,
to see it, didn't you?
Yep, the Jay Jr. character on the Masters won the FedEx Championship, barely beating out Keegan Bradley. And now this year, through four events, won two of them, And now we're getting closer to the Masters, which I haven't won the green jacket. I finished fourth last year. So this is it's
now,
a big deal.
Have you taken a photo of Jay to transpose his face onto your golf player?
Not yet, but
maybe
if I do that and I win the green jacket, they have this memorial ceremony that I will Facebook Live after he wins the green jacket.
Well, Matt Berger, you know, he's part of the station here. He said he had to modify a woman's mortgage because she was going broke from playing Candy Crush.
Oh, that's
see, that's the one thing I knew with my addictive personality that if I started spending money on it, that'd be it. Be all over.
That's sad. That's really sad.
Now, one other thing that we got validated earlier in the week. On Tuesday, I was here and told you about my experience at Alvin Mack's man cave.
Yes, he put a picture on the fan pin.
Alvin showed everybody on the... Doug, you didn't get to see it because you're not a fan pinner.
You're missing out, Doug.
It's fine.
Ask John Vaughn to show you that pic of Alvin Pick's
but
man
they know.
Alvin's man cave.
They now know what I was talking about. It is...
And I heard last night Alvin Mack is a big hitter on the station softball team. We got a softball team now.
Well, I wouldn't...
Well, he's a pretty stacked up fella, isn't he?
He hit a grand slam last night, I heard.
Mo Vaughn, like, speaking of cards, I just pulled out of Iggy's Poucho cards.
Jay, we do have the secret to unlimited lives if you're ready.
He is taking care of it.
Oh, you already have it taken
care
of?
Don't tell everyone.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to give it to everybody.
Okay, cool.
Dan the man is taking care of me via instant messenger.
Well, just look at the text line, Ben Fred, if you want to know.
I don't play, but everybody gets to know? Now, there's a bit of a conspiracy theory because someone says there's only 2,705 levels of Candy Crush, so...
Well, I could find out on that.
Lying?
See, that's the thing. It upset me because I was beating 99% of my Facebook friends. Oh, yeah. But then when it opened up the levels to the phone people, because I played primarily on the computer, not on the phone.
Yeah.
But when it opened up to the phone people, a lot of people went by me.
The phone people. Yeah, they're frowned upon in the long time Candy Crush community.
Right. Now, is this something
they're known as the phone people, and they're not wanted here. They're new money.
Millennials.
Is this something you do at the golf course while you're waiting?
No,
for the next
I don't. I never play.
In?
Never play it at the course, unless maybe the winner.
Yeah, he just looks at Twitter at the course. That's when the porno pops up.
Yeah,
and he gets in trouble.
That's when I get in trouble with what's her name, Jill Cass.
Oh, that's the worst. When you're following a porn star and you think what you're pressing on is a GIF.
Yep.
But it's an actual 30-second video. And the first thing you hear is never any good. Yeah, it's never any good.
No, I had I didn't know this happens on my computer because it's never happened before. You know, if you're watching something, you just pause.
Right.
You want to go out and smoke a cigarette or whatever. But I was watching I had a little Dillian Harper on last week.
I think you're definitely...
That's Bryce Harper's brother?
Would you consider yourself a Dillionaire?
Yeah, I love her videos.
Yeah, that's what a Dillionaire is.
She's done something different, though. Her face is...
Her hair, she's lightened her hair, too.
Her and her face is kind of puffed up a little bit.
Yeah.
Who's she play for?
She plays for Tushy.
Yeah, Tushy.
But I had forgotten that I called maintenance about... My water heater started to leak, so before it got bad, I called
maintenance.
And there's a knock on the door. God. So I put it on pause and get dressed.
Get dressed?
I go answer the door, and I'm chilling the water heater, and I have my door open. It's on pause, and there's Dillian with a little mouth play.
Oh.
And he kind of looks in the bedroom. He sees what's on the computer. Now I know what's going through this guy's mind.
Sure.
He's probably a Dillionaire, too.
What he was just doing before he answered the door to let me in. And then the sound went on. It just, I guess it unpaused itself, and you hear this,
How embarrassing would that be?
Damn it.
Did you get the water heater fixed?
He fixed it.
What'd he do to it?
In record time.
He wanted to get the hell out of there quickly.
What'd he do to it? I might have a leaky water.
I wasn't paying attention. A couple of wrenches, something else. He went and got a part out of the truck, went and had to go back to the shop, and...
Went back to the shop, tell him, buddy, dude, you will not believe
what's going on in 604.
Stay out of the apartment with the sunflowers.
No, they all know me down there. So it was kind of embarrassing.
Oh, and you were undressed when this guy got to the door.
No, I dressed before he came in, Doug.
But you heard you scrambling around in there?
No, they knock, and if they don't hear you, a lot of the guys will, like, knock three or four times.
Sure they will.
This guy was already halfway in the door while I was getting dressed. Maintenance. Nobody there. Here comes in the door. No, wait a little bit.
He's got a key to
One time
in
I was taking a shower, and I didn't hear the door. Guy's in the bathroom door. Maintenance. Yeah, I'm in here. Okay. Did you call maintenance? Well, I'm in the shower now.
Lock him out of there. You got a deadbolt?
No. They know they can come in my apartment whenever when I ask to fix something. But I couldn't hear the door. I couldn't answer. I was in the shower. He didn't know. He just walked in.
If you're there at home and you don't want him coming in, you deadbolt that thing.
No, I don't mind the maintenance guys coming in. They're not going to steal anything.
You kind of like the maintenance guy now, don't you?
Our maintenance guys at the complex are very nice guys.
Probably call them a lot, maybe just when you're lonely, see if they want to come out.
Do you know them by first name?
No, I forget their names.
He
buddy.
May have thought you were trying to lure him into something when he arrived and you were watching them.
They're all buddy.
On your computer.
Good point, Doug.
This guy was Russian, though. He was more into the...
Doing anything.
He was more into... A lot of Russian people don't follow the American porn. Yulia,
flip that off.
Yulia Nova.
Mia Malakova.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone who can probably wants to weigh in on this topic...
Oh, my God. I hope that's not a...
He's a billionaire, too.
Fearless leader Tim McKernan joins us now on Discounter phone lines. It's been a long time, Iggy. I know you're excited to hear his voice. We all are. Tim, how are you?
What's up, Ben?
Doing well. You sound crystal clear.
He's got the Julianne set up.
Yeah,
Lisa Ann.
I would love to have Julianne's
anywhere.
Anywhere would be fine. Yeah, the sea monster came over to my house a couple days ago, and he goes, "If you're going to call in every day, might as well use the Comrex." And so I have the Comrex set up in my basement, and I guess it's working.
It sounds like you're right here with us, which is
sweet.
Which is where all of the listeners wish you were. They tell us about it all the time.
Is that right? Oh, I'm going to log into the text inbox and see what the word is. Are you getting any Mark McGuire penis pictures?
Not in a while, actually. I'm sure they'll be flooding in now. Doug's eagerly grabbing at my keyboard so he can see.
No, I'm not.
What's the word, boys? I miss you. I legitimately miss you.
Well, we've
congratulations
been
on the child.
Yes, that's
thank you so much, Doug.
Fantastic.
How is Jameson doing and your bride, Anna Marie?
They're both sleeping right now, so I'm glad that I'm down in the basement, so then this way I'm not disturbing them upstairs, because I know that overnight... It is a battle. The feeding process is a battle, as I'm sure all of you guys who have experienced having children know. The first week or two can be quite an odyssey with that whole process.
So not just a week, could go on till like they're teenagers.
Well, come on, Doug. Say it all gets ironed out after a week.
No, it doesn't.
What do you know? You haven't had any children?
I've had a lot of them spit up on me.
John Vaughn, he's all over the fan page. He's like he's the leader of the fan page.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So look to Doug and say, I want to raise my kids like Doug did.
Yeah, I want Jameson to be running the fan page in 20 years. That's all people ask what I'm aspiring for. That's what I want.
I give him 10. Be on there. The kids these days, they're all about the Facebook and the iPhones. He'll figure it out sooner than that.
I just like to see him sleep through the night and eat a little bit, keep something down.
Yeah, it's during the day is kind of when he sleeps. And then at night, he's up all night. And although, like I said, I think, I get up, Doug, as you know, a few hours into my slumber because I have to visit the little wizard's room. And I feel like at 40 years old, that's way too early to have that going on.
Yeah.
But it's going on. So, you know, if I get to 60, I'll be up every hour. So, but anyway, I get up last night to visit the little wizard's room, and usually the last week, Anna Marie has been up feeding Jameson, but last night they were both asleep. It was pitch black, and I was so happy for her just because he's had her up the entire night every single night since we've been home. And then, like I said, I got up here about 25 minutes ago, and they were both asleep. So maybe things are getting better. But either way, I'm sincerely not bitching because we're just so thrilled that we even have a baby in the first place. And we knew that it would be, you know, we would have these months of not sleeping and all that stuff. So it's cool. There are no complaints.
My sister and brother-in-law said that the ride home from the hospital, they have a young daughter, a baby still. And they said that the ride home from the hospital is when you really hits you like, holy crap, this is happening. Because it's like out of the hospital. Did you have that moment in the car?
I had a few people tell me that, so I knew it going in that was going to be the moment. However, a couple of people were kind enough to send some balloons. I enjoyed the balloons for the 2 days that we were there. However, I was ready to part ways with the balloons and leave them behind in the hospital. Anna Marie really wanted to bring the balloons home, so I'd take all of the stuff downstairs and I put the balloons, and they're in the front seat. So at this point, it's like I have a 700-pound man sitting next to me in the front seat, and I can't see around them. And then as Anna Marie enters the car with our son, there's some nipple shield device that she had been using. Doug, I don't know what this is. No, I just don't know what it is. All I know is she goes, oh, my God, I left the nipple shield up in the room.
Uh-oh. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I'm more pro nipple ring. Jennings, I think. Janine,
yep.
I think she's still nipple ringing, but I'll check in.
On and off, on and off.
TextJanine.com things. I text with her every day during the Price is Right while I'm at home. So I go upstairs to look for the nipple shield, and we hadn't been out of the room for more than 5 minutes, and they'd already flipped the room over, and they had moved on to the next young tyke. And the nipple shield was gone.
Oh,
so that
no.
That significant moment of, oh, my God, it's going to be the most cautious ride you'll ever have going home was ruined by the fact that I start bitching about these balloons that are in the front passenger seat and this damn nipple shield that I just can't find for the life of me.
It is good to know they don't reuse the nipple shields, I suppose.
It
would have been disturbing
don't.
If you would have found that nipple shield was being used on the next room. You wouldn't want to know that.
Yeah, the nipple shield, I think, was trashed.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yep.
I don't know to tell you where to go to get another one.
Yeah, no, they gave us a new one, and now, fortunately, the nipple shield is a thing in the past. So I'm able to look at the text inbox. It's a wonderful thing. I don't see any McGuire pictures at the moment. I see Stephen Wildwood's texting in about tranny porn. Has that been a topic this morning?
No, it has not been. We've stuck to sports. We had the leak trade, so we tried to stick to sports for a little while at least, and then we got off the rails as we tend to do. But
yeah, absolutely. What
did you make of the Cardinals' moves yesterday?
I haven't listened. Like I said, I've only been up for about 20 minutes, so I don't know where everybody has come down on this. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And my reasoning is, and I'll attempt to recollect what I wrote. I actually gave a hot baseball take for the first time in I don't know how long, a couple months probably, on the fan page. And that is, this is what I was hoping they would do in July, but I recognize when they were so close to first place, and they really weren't close to the wild card at the end of July. They're closer to it now than they were, that they could make sell kind of moves. But from my standpoint, Mike Leake not only carries a significant portion of your payroll from a percentage allocation, but also he's 20% of your starts as long as he's in your rotation. And in both categories, I would consider him A, a declining asset, and B, a negative return on investment, and C, outside of just his start, when he's had the kind of performances that he's had, and he's certainly prone to, he can not only damage his game, but if he isn't going deep into games and causing all kinds of hell to break loose while he is pitching, it can then have a domino effect on the ensuing games. And so I am big time a fan of unloading declining assets. And I realize that it can upset fans, it can upset media, and it can certainly upset players, as we heard from Lance Lynn and Tommy Pham yesterday. I saw their comments, saw Pham on the post game yesterday. It might play well. It's kind of baseball populist rhetoric in the sense that, you know, we wanted to get ball players in here who would help us. But you had 120 games to show what you can do, and you're a 500 team. I guess 132 games at this point, I think. That's not on John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt. That's you guys. You had 132 games. You're a 500 team. You just lost 2 of 3 at home to the Padres. You just lost 2 of 3 at home to the Rays. And I recognize for the most part in St. Louis, and this goes back a while, this isn't new, that it's in vogue to bitch about the owner, and to bitch about this owner is phenomenal to me, but whatever floats people's boats. I know Ega avatars have a lot of power these days. To bitch about front office and to bitch about manager carries a lot more weight, especially in social media and columns, than bitching about players. But the reality is the team's had 132 games to show what they can do. They haven't performed to the level of championship caliber baseball, and the organization wants to put itself in a better position. And from my standpoint, unloading Mike Leake is one of the handful of contracts that they actually can move, because you can't move Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. I wish you could, but you can't. And the only other one that I think that you could move that would be realistic and be a benefit to the organization would be Dexter Fowler, who I'm a big fan of as a person, but I believe that we will view that contract as an albatross if you don't already view it now. When that thing is completed in 4 years, I highly doubt fans will assess that as a contract that they are happy that the Cardinals signed him to in December of 2016. So when you free up dollars, you also free up space to get a better caliber player in there. And right now, even if you don't get Lance Lynn, and you have Reyes, Martinez, I'm stunned that I would even mention Michael Wacha, but he has performed very well at times throughout the course of this season. And Luke Weaver, that's a foundation for a damn good rotation. And whether that fifth spot goes to Lance Lynn, which I wouldn't bet on, or another pitcher from outside the organization, or Jack Flaherty comes up and deals, the Cardinals are in a better spot because those dollars are freed up, and ideally they use that to go out and get a big-time bat in the offseason. And I think that is the way they're playing this hand. So I love the fact that they traded Mike Leake. Love it. It's right there with me with unloading Alan Craig in July of 2014.
Well, I think you've sold the listener. Cisco in Illinois says, if Tim likes the trade, then I do too. That's the motion for the gong, Doug. You're sleeping there a little bit. And I know that the listeners will probably like my bookie if you tell them about it too, Tim.
Doug, I know you're looking for a place to wager on. What do you like? You like Indiana and the points tonight?
I like the points, and I like Indiana. I like both of those.
Now, here's the thing. I do have to say this. I can weave a first-person anecdote into my live read here. This is 100% true, and it's something that I am experiencing right now. I wager on another site. I had been wagering on another site, and I got my check because I ball, and I ball so hard.
Yep.
And I take it up to my bank, and Jennings, the check is, I think, from the Bank of Shanghai, which I don't believe is located in Frontenac.
No. Nope.
And so there was a problem with it.
I would imagine. We
can't take this. Now, in my poker world, ever since the delightful Bill Frist had that UIGEA passed in 2006 while he tried to appeal to social conservatives and win the presidential nomination for the Republicans, I have had to cash checks from Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, and it's just kind of been a wink-wink situation with the banks. But when you go Bank of Shanghai, I think that's when they decided to draw the line. Yeah, so my recommendation is go with MyBookie. MyBookie has been in the business for years, and their reputation is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing, and they have the fastest payouts. 2 business days. That also is unheard of. So if you feel confident about a college football game, whether it be tonight with Indiana and Ohio State or this weekend, then go to MyBookie and get on board. Use the promo code RADIO. Radio is the promo code to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. That's where I'm going to wager. And it's not just because I'm doing a live endorsement for it. It's because when I wager and I win on other sites, I don't win the money because it comes from obscure banks in the, what is it, Doug, Pacific Rim?
I believe that's it. Yeah.
So I'm going mybookie.ag. And maybe I'll release some 5-star plays because producer Joe and I start doing those picks of the week, and he has never defeated me over the course of a year in the picks of the week. And while I'm on the air with you, he says, bust Doug's balls for not paying into fantasy football yet.
Wow.
I've been trying to
pay. He's been whining about it all show for days.
Does that shock anybody?
No, whining and whining. Someone tell him how to log in.
Iggy, are you allowed in the football or because of your stance toward
I don't do football. Okay. I don't do football. No. But I know one year I got paid and somebody was short money and I never got it.
Oh, wow. Who's somebody? Tell us how you really feel, mister.
Well,
he's
sitting in this room.
Tim, there are some photos now of Big Mac.
Yeah, I'm in the text inbox.
Ahmad Rashad. Here you go, Dad.
Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, I didn't know you guys were related.
What was his name?
Bobby. Like that basketball show
Bobby
you used to Moore. Do on Sundays.
Bobby Moore out of Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maggie O'Brien's picks of the week. We'll be starting that up here. this week. The Fighting Tigers. Ben, you going down Fighting Tigers?
I'm going to go for the opener. I will not be there this Saturday, but we will have plenty of coverage in the Post-Dispatch.
What opener are you talking about?
What opener
are you
going?
Opener. The SEC opener.
You say game, we say Cox. Go Gamecocks.
Right. All right, that's right. Calm down.
Are the Gamecocks supposed to be good? I know Missouri was picked to finish, what, are they picked to finish last in the SEC?
They are, yes. South Carolina is supposed to be next to last.
Yeah.
Ah, all right. Big battle early on then.
It's going to be a big game. I do think they can handle Missouri State, though.
What is there a number on that?
I have not seen yet.
Those are sometimes games that don't make it, and I know that would offend. We have a lot of Missouri State grads.
Bear up, bro. Why aren't you bearing up?
You know, that's a whole thing down there. So, you know, not necessarily my speed.
Yeah. I don't think they – I would be surprised if they did put a line on it, but I think Jennings is checking.
Yeah, I can't find it yet.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if there is. But, Coach Steckel, I know he still has never really addressed what happened with Trey Mason in 2013. So
it looks like the line is –
Don't worry about that.
That might not
it's
be
ancient
accurate.
History.
All right, Tim. Well, hey, thanks for dropping in. I know the listeners appreciate it. We love to hear your voice. Will you give your family the best for us and let them all know that we're happy to hear the good news, and we hope to look forward to having you back here soon.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Take it easy, Timmy.
All right, then.
See
ya.
It's Fearless Leader Tim McKernan joining us. On the Ryan
got his own setup.
After.
He may never, just so you know, he may never venture out. Now the Sea Monster's got him set up like that.
Sitting in here with that microphone.
Yeah, you'll never see him again.
That could be it.
He's going to do the rest of the shows from his house.
I'd like
99%
one of those.
Sure.
I could do it with my shorts on.
Well, I think there's only so much equipment to go around, Doug, and you probably aren't high enough on the pecking order there.
I'll keep driving.
If you were on the fan page, maybe.
Why did Tim ask you about the Pacific Rim? Does he think you're like an expert on that?
Shanghai's in the Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, we got to pivot here because we're lucky enough to have Jim Duquette joining us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Jim Duquette, of course, has been the guest of the show before. He's the former New York Mets Orioles GM. He's now a baseball analyst for both MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM and MLB.com. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going? All right.
Good. Yeah, we're breaking down as are a lot of people in St. Louis. The move the Cardinals made yesterday, sending Mike Leake to Seattle, basically offloading his contract, paying a little bit, and to getting a minor leaguer in return. What did you make of the move when you saw it?
Well, I mean, I like it from the Cardinals side of things. I like it, you know, more from the long term play for them. If they're able to save this kind of money, which they obviously are. They're picking up, you know, a fair amount going back. 17 mil is what I saw. But from a league side of things, I think I didn't care for the signing when they got him. I mean, I understood him. I thought if he had pitched to a number three or number two type starter, then it was going to be good money spent. If he pitched below that, you know, then you're going to really maybe sweat it out if he could make it through the rest of the contract. So, you know, for me, I didn't feel he pitched better this year, but I didn't feel like they got their money's worth for what they paid for with him. And so, you know, as you watch this for a year and a half, you could have done this another year from now. But who knows at this point, it might have been a year too late. So I like it from the standpoint of I think they did it a year earlier, and if they take that money and they re-sign Lance Lynn or whatever they do with it, you know, if they got to spend it, then I'll feel a little bit better on it for the long-term play.
What do you think the Mariners saw in Mike Leake that we're not seeing right now?
I don't know. It's a great question. Listen, Jerry DePoto is a wheeler and dealer. He, by far, the last 3 years since he's been there, he has the most trades of any general manager. This next closest is like half of what he's done. I mean, he changes over parts. He's hunting for pitching because his starters have been hurt. Almost 4/5 of his rotation have been out on the DL for most of the season. I think he's hoping two things. First, it's a pitcher's park, it's a little different. And he's hoping that, you know, the majority of his starts are going to be there in Seattle. Yeah, I don't even like it from, let's say, moving into the American League, which Leake has never pitched. You know, those kind of pitched contact guys are hard. It's hard for them to survive in the American League. Now, he's a heavy ground ball guy, and I think he'll benefit from the better defense there in Seattle, where I think he was impacted by St. Louis's poor infield defense. So,
you know, there's some, I think that's, those are the things that if I'm in his shoes, that's what I'm looking at, hoping that he, you know, on an improved defensive team and a pitcher's park, that he'll at least pitch to, let's say, a low four ERA. And if he does that, then it, you know, with factoring in the money, he might end up being worth it.
When people look at Mike Leake's contract, the kind of money that he makes, the kind of money the Cardinals will pay him to play for the Mariners, and then the Mariners will eventually pay him, there are people, we were having this discussion earlier, who go, man, how does a guy who has this kind of ERA and this kind of record make this kind of money?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's all based on, unfortunately, a lot of times when you're shopping in the free agent market, you guys know this too. It's like, it's what have you done in the past? That's, you end up paying for past performance than you are future. You're trying to project the future, but you don't really have a, you know, a good idea. You know, in the end, there's so many different factors. Health issues weigh into it a lot. Age is another factor, especially for pitchers. So, you know, I think that, you know, on the surface, when you look at his season, and you know, the other guys, I'm trying to remember all of the other guys that were in that marketplace at the time. I mean, he was judged against them. Okay, that, you know what, it seemed like it was it made sense. It felt like it was an overpay, but it made sense in comparison. You didn't have to pay 189 for David Price or whatever, $210 million, which would have ended up being a disaster for St. Louis. It is for Boston right now because he's hurt. So, you know, there's some factors that plays into as well. You're hoping, though, that, like I said earlier, that he would pitch to, let's say, at least a number three type of starter, a mid-rotation guy. Number fours and number fives, you should be able to develop them in your system and pay them, you know, close to minimum salary.
Now, being a former GM, and I don't want you to have to put yourself in the Cardinals' position, but we were talking earlier about Lance Lynn, probably the most durable other than the Tommy John, but up until then, he never missed a start, 200 innings, a bulldog, always had an ERA right around three. What would be some reasons the Cardinals have not talked to him or his agent at all this season about signing a new contract? What would be some of the reasons? They don't know what they want to do. They don't really want him back. They have their eyes on something else. What would be some of the reasons they haven't talked all year?
Well, I think the main, first off, there are two main ones. A lot of times players don't like to, when they get to a year out from being a free agent, the player a lot of times chooses not to do that. You know, like, listen, you know, I don't want the distraction. I'm so close to being a free agent that I want to at least explore it. Those are generally the two out there. I think with the Cardinal side of things, you know, Leak's contract might have been an impediment too, you know, and you know, because they were paying him that kind of money, and you know, we all know they need you know, impactful offensive player or two. They got to rework the defense for next year. Might need a closer now too, you know. So there's like all of a sudden you have all these needs that, you know, with St. Louis that you're like, I don't know if we can afford them now. You know, I'm not saying they restart the negotiation. They could, you know, behind the scenes do that. It's just hard to negotiate in the season because, you know, once it gets out, you're negotiating, then the player gets asked every start and it usually becomes a distraction. So I can figure and understand why if they didn't get it done by the start of the season, that most of the time players want to push it off to the end.
With pitching being so important to the game, and even a mediocre starting pitcher is extremely valuable and getting paid $15, $17 million a year. And with so many of them getting hurt, we lose two guys a year to Tommy John surgery. Would it not make sense for some team to spend their first 20 or 30 draft picks on just pitching and see if maybe they can get four or five guys out of that?
There are a lot of teams who have adopted maybe not quite that, you know, many drafts, but definitely – you know, of their top 10, seven guys, eight guys. I get asked this a lot, and it was a problem when I was in the front office too. It's easier. You make less mistakes when you draft pitchers. You still make mistakes on the draft, but pitching is a little bit easier to evaluate. You can see the sharpness of the break. You can, you know, you can, even when they're pitching against substandard offensive players, as I say in high school, you can still see a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. You can still see, you know, strength in a guy. You can project a little bit easier on the pitching side than you can on the hitting side. Like, how do you project a hitter to hit at the major league level when he's facing 82-mile-an-hour pitching his whole, you know, most of his season? So
So you see a lot of mistakes on the hitting side normally on the amateur side. But so there are teams that go that route. You have that strategy like you talked about, and they develop their pitchers and they buy the bats. And I think when you see the way things have gone here recently, if you didn't have that strategy two years ago, you're probably a little behind the marketplace, because that's really what you got to do. Because the offensive numbers, the hitters, that marketplace has come back to the fact it's not as expensive to go out and get offensive talent right now.
It's pretty clear the Cardinals, in order to fill some of these needs, they're probably going to have to deal from their outfield depth with the guys that they've had. Some of which guys have played this season. They've got a lot of prospects that they could either deal or promote, right, if they move some more established guys. In your mind, when you look at the Cardinals outfield, Tommy Pham, Dexter Fowler, Stephen Piscotty, Randall Grichuk, Jose Martinez, who jumps to mind as somebody that a team in need of an outfield would be interested in wanting?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think the Fowler contract, to me, it's been a good one. It's you know, if the Cardinals are always going to try to compete, so, and that one's not going to be easy to move. So I start there and say, well, he's likely there. Pham is not expensive. He's to me a heart and soul guy. He stays, you know. And then from there, you know, it's you know, Grichuk is a guy that's unsigned. You know, he's had his ups and downs. You're not going to get a ton back, and he's a guy, if you trade him, he might just burn you and go somewhere else and figure it out all of a sudden, be more consistent, and you're like, man, why the heck did we trade him? So I could see in Piscotty, I think, you know, you've kind of invested in him. So I could see this outfield, a lot of them coming back and sorting it out, you know, that way next year. And then, you know, how they fit in another impactful bat, that's going to be the trick for me. Is it a, you know, everyone wants to play, and I even wrote this in my article, J.D. Martinez is a perfect fit, right-handed bat, to come into St. Louis. But if you're going to keep all of those outfielders, and I think that they will, then you almost have to look at first base and move Carpenter to a different position. So that, to me, is going to be interesting to watch. If you move one outfielder, I think it would be Grichuk. But, you know, be prepared that if you can't get his value and you're just going to trade him for the sake of clearing up roster space, that guy could come back and hurt you.
I don't know how closely you're able to follow some of the minor league talent. I mean, the Cardinals AAA team in Memphis is just tearing it up, 40 games over 500. Do you see a lot of impact type, difference making type players down there? Or is that just a good team, or do they have the individuals that can come up and make a major impact right away?
Well, you know, it's hard. I'll tell you what, I don't see a lot of their games, but I do see, you know, I do talk to a lot of scouts, and I'll catch, you know, occasional a player, you know, saying, if, you know, an all-star game or whatever it might be. I mean, it's to me, obviously, you know, what you saw with Weaver and Flaherty was stood out. You know, after that, it's hard to know, because, a guy like DeJong, as an example, was not on anybody's radar, maybe the Cardinals' radar, but no one else, you know, not even scouts. And, you know, he turned out to be a pretty good player. So, you know, they tend to find guys like that, you know, a lot. So the tendency for me on that is it doesn't seem like they have impactful guys there, that it's a really good team, as you mentioned, some really good pitching, which isn't the worst thing. But, I tend to not bet against some of these Cardinals prospects that don't show up well in the prospect reports, because a lot of them have overachieved compared to what has been written about them.
When you look at the division, the Cardinals they're playing four games against the Giants, then four more against the Padres, some of the worst teams in baseball. Right now, the Giants are just atrociously bad. If they can't beat these guys, yeah, they're gonna be out of this thing for good. It would seem like, but yet they still head there with, you know, you look at the standings and go, okay, well, it doesn't seem like a postseason team, but the standings say that they still could be if they find a way to kind of exceed expectations here, and they certainly have a stretch of games now that would help them do that. How do you see the Central playing out? It seems like the Cubs are back on track now. Do you think it's pretty much going to go chalk from here, or do you think the Brewers will fall off and the Cardinals could actually make a run at this thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I talked a lot about this when we were talking about the Cardinals a lot yesterday, especially after the trade. You know, because of the inconsistency, because of the injuries, I don't know if Flaherty is going to be an upgrade. He's certainly not going to be worse than Leak. You know, you had some consistency with Leak, but you know, I think he's going to help overall. You know, this was kind of a short-term, long-term type of deal for the way I looked at it. But not having Rosenthal is a huge factor. That's a huge piece that's missing from the pen. So you look at all of those factors and the inconsistency offensively and all that, I don't see them being able to pass Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a really good team. And even though it's not, you know, the record is pretty close, I feel like they're a team that you know, if I'm comparing them just to St. Louis, I feel like Milwaukee's just a nudge better than them. I think the Cubs are, you know, a distance from the other two. So the way the standings look to me today, I think I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it looks like another month from now.
Yeah, the Brewers have got some hitters, and they got some pitchers that are better than you think they are. That's kind of
right.
The impression
right.
I've got from them.
Their bullpen's better than, you know, like, you know, they send out this kid, Josh Hader. Nobody knows who Josh Hader is, a left-handed pitcher who comes in and throws, you know, upper 90s. He's got an ERA in the low ones. But he's a rookie, you know, and you go, oh, well, you know, that's no big deal. But he's pitching well. They traded for Anthony Swarzak, and if you're not really paying attention, you go, Swarzak, you know, he's a guy that's bounced around, you know, the major leagues. Now he's pitching really, really well. You know, who is Corey Knebel? Like, Knebel is like one of the top closers right now in the National League. They have all these kind of sleeper names, sleeper guys that you haven't heard much about. It's just the mix has worked really well. You know, their offense, kind of touched on it. Their defense has been good. I have questioned their starting rotation, and yet, you know, a kid like Zach Davies, who looks like he's 18 years old, he's got 15 wins, you know? So a bunch of kind of below-the-radar no-names that have worked there.
I think at some point we stop writing them off and saying they can't go ahead and finish second, because the Cardinals certainly
right.
can't put one foot in front of the other long enough to make any sort of a consistent run here. Jim, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate
it. All right, guys, you got it, man.
We'll catch up with you down the line. Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Have a good one. See
that's Jim Duquette joining us on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Follow his work, MLB Network Radio, on SiriusXM and MLB.com.
Twice you asked questions and he said,
three times.
He loved your work.
Between the group, I don't view it as what I did. I view it as what we did.
Yeah.
And three, we all boy, delivered, well, except for Jay, who I think went out to
I had to just see somebody.
Go outside and warm up.
Go outside to see.
Now, let's be honest here. When Doug asked the question right off the bat, that's a great question.
Yeah.
If we go back and listen, yours was, he started to say great and stopped. That's a good question.
Good question.
He stopped from great and went to good.
He almost said good. But great's an overused term.
I did get two good questions. So the two good questions
equal a great, I think.
Correct.
I think
yep, you got
two good.
I would argue they do. So. I'm not focused on individual success. I'm more about us as a team.
I think you
both
had a great
interview.
But
I feel like I beat Doug.
And he mentions that.
This is a hard question.
And he mentions Zach Davies. Yesterday, the Brewers sent me a Zach Davies autographed ball and bobblehead for Gobble Bowl.
Sold out Gobble Bowl.
So thanks to the Brewers.
Shout out Brewers. Are you becoming a Brew Crew fan?
I'm a fan of anybody who donates to charity.
So you sent a message to
all the major league teams? So you're not ripping Matt Carpenter about his charitable donations because he's having a down year?
I don't rip them. Congratulations and thank you for what you're doing, Matt, and Cardinals and
Stephen Wildwood
Wainwright.
Disagrees with that take,
yes,
and
he
is also, he has to win today. Email of the day is coming up later, and he has
this
to win
huge.
To force a tie with Plops.
I do believe in charity, and I do
except
believe
for,
in giving
for
back
that
to
idiot.
The community. And one of the things that this station will do that's different than any other radio stations,
right.
I think, in St.
Is
Louis
last
is
6 months.
We are going to donate time on our times that we don't use the station,
which is most
or
of the
where
time.
It's not a profitable thing
which
for
is
us
most
to
of
do,
the time.
Or whatever. And it's going to be Sunday mornings. It's going to be called Donating Back to the Community Charity. Now, how that will happen,
I
haven't
know.
Yet worked out, but
it really rolls off the tongue.
And it never did happen. What we're going to do differently than any other station is tell you we're going to do something, then not do it.
That's what
a lot of stations probably do that, though, don't they?
Giving back to the community charity show.
Sounds like a Michael Scott name. It seems like something you'd see on The Office.
Who's going to host that show?
If I'm in radio for 25 years, this will
topped.
Still be the highlight of my job, of my life.
You're
will
so
be
lucky you got out
the
when
press
you got
conference.
Out.
Well, it wasn't my choice.
I know, but it worked out well.
Yes, it did.
Now, earlier, Iggy was talking about an unfortunate event that he had in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's, I guess, just coming clean on a lot of things, there was an apology, Iggy, that you said you wanted to make?
Not so much an apology.
Well,
I think it's an apology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll clear something up. Yesterday, we were talking about the Creve Coeur Park ice rink that they put on the table for a little bit to
button issue.
Work some things out. And I was talking about, why do they call it a park? It's not even a park. It's a lake.
It's just a pond.
And I will say, I didn't say I'm an expert on all things Maryland Heights like it was portrayed.
Right.
I said, I live in Maryland Heights. I've been to Creve Coeur Lake. It's not
where
a park.
You stay.
Yeah. It's not a lake. I mean, it's a lake. It's not a park. Now, I was confused that I didn't know there were two different things, because I'm pretty sure when you go into the park off of Maryland, off of Marine is where, that's how I get in there.
Good
it says Creve Coeur Lake Memorial Park.
It's right there on the sign.
And I go there and it's a lake. Yeah, now, I didn't know that behind off of there is the park that does have softball fields and baseball fields.
Side. Yeah,
yeah, great. And so I was wrong. Yeah, now, somebody said another lie by Iggy. It's not really a lie. I mean, I didn't.
You just were wrong.
I didn't blatantly say, you know. Now, if I say, you know, yeah, I banged Lindsay Lohan.
Sure, real nice.
That would be a lie. I didn't. I've never banged Lindsay Lohan.
It'd be cool if you did, though.
Yes, I've never banged Lindsay Lohan. So that would be a lie. But for me to be think that the park and the lake are the same thing, it's not a lie.
No.
I was just bad information on my part.
Personal the question I'd like to know. Did you toss Taya Babilonia?
Toss her?
Or did you just date her? Or do you not want to say?
No, I think I've already said that I slept with her.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Because I was upset that I wasn't in her biography movie when she was banging nine guys at a time.
Right. Well, I saw you reference Ty yesterday.
You did the nasty.
It was about somebody she'd married or dated. What was it?
David Brenner.
Yeah, David Brenner.
Yeah, she was.
She dated Ty Babilonia, David dated.
They might
David
have been
Brenner?
Engaged at a point.
Did really?
Did you date David Brenner?
Oh, stop with that. Oh, yeah, I'm not telling a story now. I'm answering a question. You don't have to critique my question answering.
Sorry.
But you tossed a gold medalist. She a gold medalist?
She never won a gold medalist. I think they won a world title. No, that's when Randy pulled a groin. They probably would have won the gold medal.
He didn't stretch.
What was his name, Randy?
Gardner.
Gardner.
I still talk to Randy every once in a while.
Jay, you know what? Before break, it's a perfect couple-minute story, and I get your reaction. Last night, home, relaxing.
Chilling.
About to go to bed. See, on the Golf Channel, they're showing the 96 President's Cup, which is obviously, it was, I think, 16.5 to 15.5 ended up being the final score.
It's a big year for 1996.
Freddie coupled Vijay Singh down to the 18th. Freddie hits that birdie. Vijay misses. I watched almost all of it until like 11:30.
You're getting to be a little golf geek.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's cool because you had the old school shirts, the big glasses. Vijay looked like Vijay looked kind of like a petty. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, he looked a little. Just look at him. Look at Vijay Singh in '96. He's a little off.
Most people didn't even watch that live. More or less 20 years.
I think you would appreciate it, Norman. Played well. I absolutely loved it. Could not get enough of it.
Nicely done.
And they, you know, it wasn't a lot of delay. They just showed shot after shot. Yeah, it was great.
Who's the captain of that team? Tom Kite?
It might have been at that time.
I don't remember who the captain was of a team.
Arnie looked great. Palmer,
was Fesco. Or what's his name?
Bob? Fesco. Wow.
Fesco was the captain.
Hey, Sugar Shane wants to know, Jay, what was your view on some of the golfers are saying about the playoff hole last week?
About what happened?
Yes.
Well, I think they're complaining about 18 in general.
Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of people that I know Ian Poulter couldn't believe what Dustin Johnson did.
What did he do?
Neither could Johnny Miller.
He wants socialism in golf.
Neither could Nick Faldo or Jim Nance.
No.
He wants everybody to hit the same shot, the same length, and that will prove who the better player is. He was mad that Dustin Johnson had the capability of doing
He took it 350. There was water to the left, okay?
Sure,
and Jordan Spieth gets up and hits a beautiful tee shot down the pipe and thinks that's the right way to go. And he's in perfect shape. And DJ says, what water?
No, we don't need
that. And just flies it like 325 over. He was within 5 yards of where he played his third shot just a little bit ago.
And they didn't think that he should take the shortcut.
I think that
people were mad about this?
I think,
why?
Well, because they can't do it.
Well, that's their point. It's a hole that is basically a driving contest. If you can bust a drive 340,
you can put it in a
wedge,
position.
The rest of us have 190 in
the hole. So they should have picked a different hole?
No.
But the precision on that shot was unbelievable. It didn't have a lot of fairway right there.
It had to be perfect. It was a narrow part. And you know, the game today, for the most part, and most venues, is a game of power, and it's something I don't relate to. I mean, I remember when I was at a golf course when my freshman year at South Carolina, and it was a 345-yard dog leg left, and the guy said to me, you know what Davis Love III did here? And I said, no, he drove the green. And I said, how? He said, well, he went over those trees.
Sure.
And you know, Davis ended up scaling back his driver to be better, to be more of
accurate.
A quality player, right?
Yeah,
but now with these drivers,
it's
silly.
It's dumb.
That shot, though, looked like a rocket launcher was being shot off. Like, Dustin Johnson's
like
drive was unbelievable.
To get in the weight room.
Well, the old adage is from caddies and players out there, if you don't like your position, play better.
Right.
No, I can see, but at the same time, it's a risk-reward drive.
Sure.
I mean,
he makes the wrong move.
If you come over the top of it, you're in the water. If you hit too big of a cut, you're in the rough. So it's a risk reward. So now I can understand, like, when you're bitching about Bethpage Black, like half the field can't get to the fairway on
the 10th hole. Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah,
I've seen that course, and that's a nice hole, Bill.
Favorite hole on the property.
Yeah. I actually played that last night, Bethpage, and the wind was 15 mile an hour at my face.
Look at Plowsy.
I hit it in the rough, hit a 2-iron out, I had to par it, but.
Have you ever thought about actually playing golf?
Yeah, you know, you got a place you can play.
He doesn't know anybody who can get him
right,
in the course.
Right, you don't know how to help him. Yeah. Arnold Palmer was the captain of the President's Cup team in 96.
And he looked he looked like he could, like, go out and play. I think this was obviously 21
like
years
you.
Ago.
He'd like you. Oh. You and Arnold would do well together.
He looked fantastic.
The best. Really was a great the best.
Guy. Oh, wow. There's a lot of Iggy fact checking going on here. Meat Rocket 8 says they did win a gold medal and the world championship. Referring to
Ty and Randy.
Yeah.
Well, Ty Babylonian, Randy Gardner never won a gold medal in the Olympics.
And then
check again, buddy.
Says this is from Ben Fred's buddy room. I don't approve of that name. The only time I'll ever say it's too bad the cat isn't there today is now, and that's so he could question Iggy's story about the beetle crash. They don't sit 2 feet off the ground to run over a sewer, and the engines are in the rear. You may step down, you bacon face orange queen.
That wasn't necessary.
That's what they said. I'm just reading.
Well,
the text.
First of all, I didn't have a 1966 Beetle where the engines are in the back. The trunk is in the back of a Beetle now, douche.
There you go.
And if you want to come to my apartment, come, and I can show you where you have the sewer, and they have a lid.
It's right there.
A concrete lid that is 2 feet off the ground covering the sewer.
24 inches.
I'm sorry I called you a douche, but that just pissed me off.
The engines
have not been in the back of a Volkswagen
long time.
Since 68.
Long time. But it is interesting that we've got all these fact checkers.
Man, they're out in abundance.
I don't know what facts you're checking with Ty and Randy because they've never won a gold medal in the Olympics.
Fair point. It's a fair point.
I haven't checked it.
Plowsy, check that, will you? Ty Babylonia, Randy Gray.
I'll look during the break, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Derek Gould.
And I do apologize again for the Creekcore Park stuff. I apologize.
Holding himself accountable because we know that you guys will if he does it. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio.
Hey, gang, there is more exciting news from Lions Choice. 2017 is their 50th year, and they are just getting started. St. Louis's favorite, Lions Choice Roast Beef, is rolling out new salads. The new lineup includes a traditional Caesar, the LC Seasonal with their signature bistro dressing, and you have to try the Butcher Block Cobb Salad, featuring a trio of their famous proteins, roast beef, turkey, and ham. So stop by any of the 25 area Lions Choice locations and help them celebrate 50 years and see what's new at LC.